The following program is produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.
What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to Too Jewish with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Rabbi Kinneret Shiron of Kehilat Yozma in Israel, one of the Reform Movement's exciting new congregations in Israel. We'll also visit with our maven on Israel, Danny Bobman, and visit with our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Please contact us with comments at our email address, tojewishradio@yahoo.com. Too Jewish is sponsored this morning by Temple Emmanuel, a Reform Jewish community for all of Tucson. Call 327-4501 for information on Southern Arizona's fastest-growing synagogue, the only full-service Reform congregation in Southern Arizona. We're sponsored as well by Jill Rich of Realty Executives, by Environmental Strategies, by Better Bodies, and by Janos Restaurant and the J-Bar. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom and Chag Chanukah Sameach. Happy Chanukah. This is the second day of the wonderful 8-day Festival of Lights, which means only 6 more nights to eat latkes and gain weight. But it's also 6 more nights of candles, songs, stories, family, and friends. There's nothing quite as lovely as a candle-lit, even filled living room on a dark wintry night, especially when there are children present to share in the joy and magic of Chanukah. Doesn't take much to make Chanukah special. Just the shortest days of the year, today is the very shortest, by the way, and a bit of holy light and a tradition that goes back 2 millennia and more. So light your Chanukiot, better known as Chanukah menorahs, those 9-branched candelabra that make this holiday really shine. Sing the blessings, hand out gelt, eat latkes, play spin the dreidel, and generally revel in this splendid little festival. On Chanukah, we Jews stress the importance of ancient miracles, such as the victory of a small band of poorly armed Jews over the greatest military power in the world, and the way that a small vessel of oil supposedly burned not for just one day, but for 8 miraculous days and nights. This Chanukah follows quite an eventful week, what with the capture of a modern tyrant, Saddam Hussein, and this celebration of the defeat of an ancient one, Antiochus Epiphanes. It really adds to the feeling of gratitude at this season of Thanksgiving. Speaking of Thanksgiving, after experiencing President Bush's fake Thanksgiving turkey with all the publicity trimmings, we might say that Hanukkah came early for U.S. troops when they captured the real turkey of the war, Saddam Hussein, hiding in the most famous spider hole in history. It was perhaps a reminder of the lyric from the classic Hanukkah song Moe's Tzur, "Soon may we see all men free, tyrants disappearing," or in this case, reappearing in order to face the music. Speaking of music, here's that very hymn, Moe's Tzur, with its celebration of God's heroic, miraculous victory over tyranny everywhere. A melody from the Sephardic tradition in Italy, Rock of Ages, Moe's Tzur.
Right.
That composition is from a transcription by Benedetto Marcello, a Sephardic Moz Sur, our Rock of Ages, God rescuing us from a tyrant long ago. I must admit to a minor bout of pique this week. While our greatest Hanukkah on Earth 5 last Sunday was every bit as spectacular as we promised, we had 800 people there and the show went off magnificently, the capture of Saddam bumped the footage the TV stations shot of our show. I have to say it showed very limited news judgment. I mean, if they had caught that Momser a week later, would the TV stations have bumped Christmas coverage for him? Ah, well, you can't stay mad on Hanukkah. And in just a few moments, when we come back, we'll meet our guest, Rabbi Kinneret Shiryon of Kehilat Yozma in Modin, one of the Reform Movement's dynamic new synagogues in Israel, in the city that was the home of the Maccabees.
Environmental Strategies Incorporated was established in Arizona almost 15 years ago. They're a corporation that's very unique and has distinguished itself as one of the foremost environmental remediation companies in Arizona. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is also a full-service general contractor. The fact that they have two divisions affords their clients the opportunity to work with one contractor to deal with environmental problems as well as their building and remodeling needs. Environmental Strategies clientele range from single-family homeowners to multi-million-dollar Fortune 500 companies. So, if you're in need of asbestos abatement, mold remediation, or general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies at 884-1114. And, if you wish, ask for Ken Goodman, the president. He'd be more than happy to talk with you about your project. That's Environmental Strategies, 884-1114.
We're delighted to welcome to Two Jewish this morning Kinneret Shiryon, the rabbi of Kehilat Yozma in Israel and a leader in the Reform Movement for Progressive Judaism. It's a wonderful congregation doing dynamic things in Israel and part of a fascinating change within the Israeli religious community in creating a liberal Judaism for Israel. Kinneret made Aliyah 21 years ago now, almost. Grew up in the United States and has become a rabbi in Israel in every sense of the word. I want to welcome the Two Jewish Kinneret Shiryon.
Good morning.
Your congregation started in an interesting way, atypical for a congregation in the States, but I think also in Israel. Tell us how you developed Kehilat Yozma.
Yozma is an idea that came from my experience as being a congregational rabbi in Israel for many years and trying to build an indigenous, religious, Jewish, Reform community. In order to do that, most Israelis that define themselves as secular, they don't have a sense of what their religious needs are, and I figured the best way to capture their attention would be through their children. So we began our community with a preschool program, which was top quality, a small amount of children, large amount of faculty, which made it appealing for the average Israeli who was looking for an alternative to educate their children, and with an emphasis on Jewish values, teaching them respect for Jewish tradition in a liberal, egalitarian, pluralistic fashion. So when we marketed ourselves, it became palatable for the secular Israeli, and that's how they got hooked. So they learned about us through what their children were learning, and it gave them a petichut, an openness, and a willingness to maybe venture a little deeper into what this is all about, liberal Judaism, Reform Judaism. And once they're in the door, then and we do our job right, they'll start asking questions, perhaps come to a holiday celebration, start feeling comfortable in a setting that was completely new to them, that they didn't have any sense of wanting to become a part of it or even knowing about it, and yet this exposure to Reform Judaism in a non-threatening kind of fashion opened up their eyes and their hearts to who we are. We have succeeded in such a way that we now have 6 preschool programs. 2 of them are formal kindergarten, which is recognized by the Ministry of Education in Israel, and we are planning on opening up our first grade class in September.
We will talk much more extensively with Rabbi Kinneret Shiryon about Kehilat Yozma, her congregation, and progressive Judaism in Israel a little later this morning.
My name's Jean. I was so out of shape, I couldn't even get up on my horse.
Jean, a 50-plus Tucsonan, talks about why she went to personal trainer Jeremy Price of Better Bodies.
I knew it was going to be hard work, but after I'd been seeing him for only a week, I felt better about myself.
In their new private facility, Better Bodies makes it easy to lose your body fat fast.
I've lost 35 pounds. I'm wearing clothes I haven't worn for 25 or 30 years. Everything looks better.
After just 6 weeks, Better Bodies promises you a better body, and individual programs start at only $39.99 a month.
By the way, I can not only get on my horse, but I can post in that saddle for hours and hours.
For a free personal evaluation, call Better Bodies at 975-7074.
And I owe it all to Jeremy.
That's 975-7074, or on the web at BetterBodiesTucson.com.
That hometown of the Maccabees was a small place called Modin. In Jewish tradition, great leaders often come from unlikely places. King David was from a small farm outside of a tiny town, for example, and through most of its history, Modin remained a hamlet at best. But in recent years, it has emerged as what will likely become Israel's fourth largest city, a planned community of 500,000 in the picturesque hills midway between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. That's the emerging community Rabbi Kinneret Shiryon's congregation is in, and that's also a place of minor pilgrimage this week of Hanukkah, as Israelis go to visit the site of the beginning of the Hasmonean Revolt, where old Mattathias and Judah Maccabee made history by Yamim Haheim Bazman Hazeh, in those long-ago days at this time of year. To further celebrate Hanukkah, here's a little medley from the choir of the Rabbinical Seminary in Budapest, Hungary, three Hasidic songs for Hanukkah. One more Hanukkah memory for us this week. On the Jewish calendar, this marks the 10th anniversary of a famous incident in Billings, Montana. Maybe you've even heard of it. It took place in the largest city in the state, all 110,000 people of it. Montana's not very urbanized. Two anti-Semitic incidents took place right around Hanukkah. So happens I was the student rabbi at the time in Billings. I flew in every other week from Cincinnati, Ohio. Two families who had decorated their homes with Hanukkah decorations had bricks or concrete blocks thrown through them, and Jewish hate literature circulated. Each reacted very differently. One kept it quiet. The other called the newspapers and insisted that everybody know what had happened. And a very, very interesting thing happened. The entire Christian community rose up. In churches all over Billings, Montana, pictures of Hanukkiyot were circulated. Parents were told to hang them in their windows. Soon convenience stores were passing out pictures of Hanukkah menorahs, and then it was published in the paper and all over Billings, which has a grand total of 50 Jewish families. All over, you could see Hanukkah menorahs everywhere. A billboard went up, "No hate in our town." Suddenly, the Jews felt completely accepted, and those who had damaged their homes and circulated hate speech vanished from the scene. It was a wonderful lesson in standing up for your identity, the kind of message that the Maccabees created at the time of Hanukkah, and it brought out the best in all that is American. It was a powerful lesson for me as the student rabbi there, and I think for everyone in Billings and throughout the country. By the way, the guy who played me in the TV movie about the Billings story had black hair, which I don't, and had almost nothing to say. An impossible situation for a rabbi. Hard to believe that it's been 10 years, but I think we've all learned a lot from that story of the Hanukkah menorahs in Montana. Well, we had a taste of Adam Sandler's slightly raunchy Hanukkah song last week. Here's a slightly expurgated version of his second Hanukkah song. If Hanukkah were 12 nights long, we could include his version 3 next week, but here's number 2.
chorus. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we get eight crazy nights. But when you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a new list of people who are Jewish. Just like you and me. Winona Ryder drinks Manischewitz wine, then spins a dreidel with Ralph Lauren and Calvin Klein. Guess who gives and receives loads of Hanukkah toys? The girls from Baruch Assault. And all three Beastie Boys. Lenny Kravitz is half Jewish. Courtney Love is half too. Put them together. What a funky bad Jew. We got Harvey Keitel and flash dancer Jennifer Beals. Yasmin Bleeth from Baywatch is Jewish, and yes, her the real. Put on that yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. Two-time Oscar winner Dustin Hoffman celebrates Hanukkah. So many Jews are in the show business. Bruce Springsteen isn't Jewish, but my mother thinks he is. Tell Daryl a Hanukkah, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. It's not pronounced Chanukah, the C is silent in Hanukkah. So read your hooked on Hanukkah, get drunk in Tijuana.
That was Adam Sandler's Hanukkah Song 2. I think we'll hold that third version for next year. And now, in the only story that could possibly follow Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song and fit, there was a great feature on fried foods for Hanukkah last week in a newspaper that highlighted a new trend in oil-drenched eating for the Festival of Lights, deep-fried Twinkies. The careful reasoning goes like this. If anything fried in oil is appropriate for the holiday publicizing the miracle of the menorah, why not? It's similar to the Israeli preference for sufganiyot, kind of like jelly donuts, only it's an all-American take on an ancient tradition. A perfect dessert for your latke meal, deep-fried Twinkies for Hanukkah, our nutritional tip from Too Jewish, during a week when cholesterol is mandatory. Our higher-level culinary approach has outstanding chef Janos Wilder visiting with us weekly on behalf of Janos Restaurant and the J-Bar. Good morning, Janos.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you today?
I'm great. You do gift certificates, don't you, Janos and the J-Bar?
We sure do. This time of year, that's actually a very big part of our business is people come in to buy gifts for their friends, for their loved ones, for business associates. At Janos and J-Bar, there are all sorts of gift certificates you can get, not only for dinner. You can buy gift certificates for my cooking classes. You can get cookbooks, or you can get gift certificates for our gala dinner that's coming up January 25th for our 20th anniversary.
20 years. So you can get gift certificates for your anniversary or your own anniversary.
Exactly. Two types of gift certificates.
And they make great birthday presents, not just holiday presents.
Right. Just give us a call at the restaurant, 615-6100.
Thanks, Janos.
Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah. When we return, we'll have the old Jewish joke of the week and hear from our mavens, Danny Bobman and Tom Price.
Every once in a while, you want a different sort of day. A day you can be transported in a comfortable coach bus, partake in a wonderful luncheon, and see a show you'll truly enjoy, like Showboat. Men will take you on a journey of pure delight. For entertainment trips to Mesa, Globe, and elsewhere, call Men at 296-1190. The delightful musical Showboat will be performed on the 25th of February in Mesa, Arizona. It's $60 for the whole experience, including the bus, the meal, and the show. Call Men at 296-1190. Ask about their Apache Gold overnight trip, too. It's to enjoy. Call Men at 296-1190.
From time to time, we like to include contributions from local and national authors. Barbara Russick is here with a personal recollection of a close encounter with a Hanukkah ritual object.
Thank you, Rabbi. The piece I wrote is called Hanukkah Comes Early This Year to Thrift Store Shopaholic. What's a nice Jewish girl with a decent job doing in a place like this? It's a question I sometimes stop and ask myself in the middle of a shopping spree in my favorite thrift store. Actually, there are a couple of answers to that question, including the fact that law number one of being a teacher is that you wear a different outfit every school day or risk being considered totally uncool by the severest critics of all, middle schoolers. Selective memory works beautifully with this age group who remember much better what a teacher wore on any given day than how to conjugate a French irregular verb. Thanks to a friend who introduced me to the concept of thrift store shopping several years ago, also a nice Jewish girl, would you believe, I got a wardrobe, got hooked, and remain so to this day. After all, as they say on the loudspeaker, you never know what treasures you'll find. Among the mugs with logos of places I never heard of, the blouse with one small stain the kids will never notice, the great deals on luggage, okay, so it's hard to get the handle to pull up, big deal, and the plethora of other assorted junk, there may just be a very special something, even something of great value, to be had for a song. And just recently I found it, a small but nevertheless very recognizable menorah, in perfect condition. Why would any Jew have donated a perfectly good menorah to a generic second-hand store, especially at this time of year? Imagination took over as I thought of the possible circumstances involved in practically throwing away a precious menorah that had probably never been used. Suddenly fear gripped me as I thought of what unsuspecting people might innocently do with the 9 candle holders. The menorah could easily become the centerpiece at a 9-year-old's birthday party, perhaps used by a couple to celebrate their 9th anniversary, or for 100 other uses except the one intended. Although there are already 2 very nice Chanukiot in my home, passed down through the generations of our family, I knew immediately that there would soon be a 3rd, the newest member to occupy a place of honor next to numbers 1 and 2. As I look at my newest acquisition on the shelf of the entertainment center, a good feeling comes over me, for I have rescued a tiny icon of Jewish culture that might otherwise have been lost forever. I can already see in my mind's eye the special glow the candles will cast come the end of December.
Thanks, Barbara, for that personal memoir. It's time now for the old Jewish joke of the week. Humor your Bubby and Zadie New, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. A religious school teacher was discussing the 10 commandments with her class of 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor your father and your mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our little brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one little boy answered, "Thou shalt not kill." That was the old Jewish joke of the week. Humor your Bubby and Zadie New, a special feature of Too Jewish just for you. Don't tell anybody. If you have questions, comments, or criticism, send it to us at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com. You can now get CDs of any past 2 Jewish shows for a nominal fee by calling Temple Emmanuel at 327-4501 or on the web at TempleEmmanuelTucson.org. To keep the theme of Hanukkah levity in good style, Jewish satirist and songwriter of the 60s, Tom Lehrer, released this piece 35 years after his greatest fame, but just a few years ago and not a bit too soon.
I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica, wearing sandals, lighting candles by the sea. I spent Shavuos in East St. Louis, a charming spot, but clearly not the spot for me. Those eastern winters, I can't endure 'em. So every year I pack my gear and come out here till Purim. Rosh Hashanah I spend in Arizona, and Yom Kippur way down in Mississippi. But in December there's just one place for me. Amid the California flora, I'll be lighting my menorah. Like a baby in his cradle, I'll be playing with my dreidel. Spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica by the sea. I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica, wearing sandals, lighting candles by the sea. I spent Shavuos in East St. Louis, a charming spot, but clearly not the spot for me. Those eastern winters, I can't endure 'em. So every year I pack my gear and come out here till Purim. Rosh Hashanah I spend in Arizona, and Yom Kippur way down in Mississippi. But in December there's just one place for me. Amid the California flora, I'll be lighting my menorah. Like a baby in his cradle, I'll be playing with my dreidel. Here's the Judas Maccabeus. Boy, if he could only see us spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica by the sea.
That was Tom Lehrer's semi-classic, Hanukkah in Santa Monica. We're now pleased and serene to welcome back a recurring feature of Too Jewish, Zen Judaism. Here are three haikus for Jews. In the ice sculpture, reflected bar mitzvah guest Nosh on chopped liver. How soft the petals of the floral arrangement I have just stolen. And finally, our last haiku for Jews. Looking for pink buds to prune back, the moil tends his flower garden. That was a series of koans on Zen Judaism, haikus for Jews. When we come back, we'll talk to Danny Bobman, our maven on Israel, and get the news of Jews around the world.
So, here you are, enjoying your Sunday morning with Rabbi Sam Kohan, his mavens, and his friends. Isn't it great hearing the variety of in-depth interviews, the traditional and not-so-traditional Jewish music, the news of Jews around the world, and of course the wit and humor that you've come to expect? You know, producing Too Jewish is a labor of love, but we do need your help. We'd like to ask your business to consider advertising right here within our show. By advertising here, you'll reach an educated, affluent audience, an audience that's loyal. It's easy and inexpensive to advertise on Too Jewish. Just call 327-4501. Your call will help guarantee that Too Jewish remains a source for the best of Jewish culture. Please call today, 327-4501. 327-4501. And thanks from your friends right here at Too Jewish.
Our maven Danny Bobman is here to talk about an important and helpful institution in Israel. Happy Hanukkah, Danny, and Boker Tov.
Good morning, Rabbi. I would like to dedicate today's corner to Ruth Kugelman, who passed away last week. Ruth, may she rest in peace, and Bill, Yibadel Chaim Arukim, were our very dear friends of Israel and the Israel Center. Bill is also involved with Beit HaLochem, the rehabilitation center for injured IDF soldiers in Israel. And Ruth supported his activities all the way. In her memory, I would like to say a few words about my personal encounters with the graduates of Beit HaLochem. As a member of a combat unit, I have friends who were injured in battle. When I came back home, I went to visit them at the hospital. For some, the next stop was Beit HaLochem. At Beit HaLochem, they learned to walk again, to use their prosthesis, to see with their ears, to climb with their wheelchairs, to function, and then to excel in getting along with their lives. Beit HaLochem is also the greenhouse for Special Olympics champions. My friend Yizhar Cohen, who lost his eyesight while dismantling a landmine, brought home 7 gold medals from all swimming styles. He was always a good swimmer, but he had to learn how to swim without seeing the lane or at the end of the pool. He learned it in Beit HaLochem. After Yizhar was injured, I came closer to the circles of wounded veterans, the extended family of Beit HaLochem. They travel all over the world. They hike and they dive and they work and they get the support they need on their bad days. And there are bad days when you need a cheering voice, when you need a phone call that will get you out of the house and remind you that there are still challenges for you to conquer. Many times, it was a Beit HaLochem call. The staff of Beit HaLochem uses compassion, but not pity. They are aggressive and assertive in reaching their goals, but maintain the self-respect of their clients. They are a combination of sports coach, psychologist, drill sergeants, and mentors. And at the end, their team of torn-up bodies and souls is reforming as capable, functioning individuals. I saw their work. I admired their dedication. Today, Beit HaLochem supports also victims of terror who were injured in suicide attacks. You've all seen the sights. The living victims are often forgotten, but not at Beit HaLochem. People like Ruth and Bill made it possible for the Beit HaLochem staff to work and for its patients to achieve incredible things. So next time Bill makes a phone call to you, and he will, I'm sure he will, you will know who and what he's asking for. May you never know sorrow again, Bill. And a good week to you, Rabbi.
Thanks, Danny. Chag Chanukah Sameach and Shavua Tov, an important cause indeed. We'll talk next week. Our Jewish poetry slam this morning comes from Abba Kovner and is called The Scientists Are Mistaken. The scientists are mistaken when they claim the universe was shaped from one primeval clay. I maintain the universe is shaped every day from diverse materials with nothing in common, only the ratio of their masses, like that of the element sorrow and the element hope, makes them companions and curbstones. I much regret the need to stand up in all humility to challenge what is so well accepted by the experts, that the greatest of velocities is that of light. But I and my radiated flesh quite recently experienced something else, whose speed exceeds even the speed of light, and returns surely, not in a straight line, because of the convolutedness of creation or the perfection of the name. And if we combine all this into a proper equation, perhaps it will explain why I refuse to believe that your voice and everything I set before myself eternally, and everything that was so real and suddenly was really lost forever. And if the world has not yet been constructed from it, every day there is blessing. Abba Kovner's poem, The Scientists Are Mistaken. When we return, we'll speak to Tom Price about the international Jewish scene and get the news of Jews around the world.
If you're like most people, your biggest purchase is your home. Don't you wish there was someone you could turn to who not only had knowledge and experience, but who truly cared about you? If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you need to know Jill Rich. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. With over 20 years of experience, Jill's one of Tucson's top realtors. She specializes in all kinds of residential property. She can find you a starter house or a castle. Jill will find you the perfect home. While the stock market has wild gyrations, real estate grows in value. If you want to invest in income property, Jill can guide you. And if you're thinking about selling your home, Jill provides a personal marketing program to sell your house fast. You can reach Jill Rich at Realty Executives River Road office, 615-8400. Jill provides strong representation in a caring way. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. Jill Rich, call 615-8400.
We are delighted to welcome Tom Price on this Chanukah morning, our expert on the international Jewish scene, to continue a discussion on Judaism and Hellenism. Tom, last week you talked about the introduction of Greek civilization into the Middle East and into Israel's life in particular. We were going to talk a little today maybe about the fear and attraction experience of that process.
Thank you, Rabbi. It's good to be back. When the Greeks were ruling the land of Israel, the vast majority of Jews there found themselves somewhere between the two extremes of, on the one hand, aping Greek culture and largely accepting its values, and on the other hand, rejecting, sometimes even violently, Greek cultural influence. Most people, this big sort of middle minority, or majority, I suppose, were willing to pay the conqueror's taxes and recognize Greek political authority, provided that they were free to practice their religion. To borrow a phrase from a later period, they were willing to render unto Caesar that which was Caesar's. In any case, even very pious Jews learned more from the Greeks than they might care to acknowledge. Greek philosophical methods, as you know, were unconsciously incorporated into the development of the Torah Shebaalpeh, the oral law, which later formed the basis of the Talmud. It was these methods which the Pharisees used to adapt ancient Mosaic law to contemporary situations 1,000 or more years after the time of Moses. These were also the methods which the Sadducees used to justify their position that only the laws written in the Torah carried any authority, and that the application of Greek logic to these laws would lead to more respect for the book of Homer than for the books of Moses. There is a line in Mishnah, in Baba Kama, which later expresses this thought even more forcefully. Cursed be the man who would teach Greek wisdom to his son, indicating that the rabbis who wrote the Talmud saw Greek cultural influence as a real threat. As you know, in this context, more than two millennia later, a knowledgeable Jew who has a good Jewish background but rejects one or more aspects of traditional Jewish practice is often called an apikoros, which is a word that comes directly from the Greek philosopher Epicurus and reflects this fundamental ambivalence that Jews felt toward Greek culture and the Greek world. It's also interesting to note that the Greeks barely noticed Jewish culture. they had trouble with Jews from the beginning, in the sense that Jews were one of the few conquered people who didn't fully accept Greek cultural dominance. But they never bothered to learn Hebrew or study Greek philosophy, Jewish philosophy, right, or develop a series of rebuttals towards this troublesome little minority in their empire.
And it's fascinating because we're celebrating Hanukkah now, and we sing in the Mazsur, we speak about the Greeks and the evil Greek empire that attacked the Jews, and they didn't even notice we were there to a great degree. Tom will complete this next week. Thank you. Chag Hanukkah Sameach.
Also to you. Thanks.
We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
American forces finally captured Saddam Hussein last week, and most of the news of the world has been focused on the act and its aftermath, but it has also been a very busy Jewish news week. In Israel, Prime Minister Sharon seemed about to propose to make some unilateral moves, that is, evacuate some settlements and finalize the border fence, and everybody got even more tense, if that's possible for State Department flunkies and, Jews. Time will tell what transpires as usual in the Middle East, new or old. At the Vatican, Jewish human rights leaders formally asked the Pope to launch a campaign internationally to have suicide bombing treated as a crime against humanity. Delegation members from the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles will begin lobbying governments for a UN resolution so that those who plan the homicide bombings can be brought to justice. Rabbi Marvin Heyer got some FaceTime with the pontiff, although no formal response was made by the Roman Catholic Papa. Microsoft Corporation said its latest version of Office software inadvertently contained a font featuring two swastikas, and said it would offer tools to remove and replace the offending characters from the program. The swastika, made infamous by Nazi Germany, of course, was included in Microsoft's Bookshelf Symbol 7 font. That font was supposedly derived from a Japanese font set, said Microsoft Office product manager Simon Marks. It was discovered by one of our customers a couple of weeks ago, Mark said, adding that there was no indication of malicious intent. Microsoft said that it had contacted various Jewish organizations about the font and said a utility would be immediately available on its website that would remove the characters from the system and replace them with a photo of Strom Thurmond. Just kidding. A form of the swastika has been used in the Buddhist religion to symbolize the feet or footprints of the Buddha. That symbol, which was also widely used in the ancient world, including Mesopotamia, Scandinavia, India, and the Americas, became common in China and Japan with the spread of Buddhism. And now the swastika also symbolizes Microsoft. Couldn't happen to a nicer company. In news of tough Jews this week, boxer Zab Judah, the World Boxing Organization's super welterweight champ, who fights as the Lion of Judah, was back in the ring with a first-round knockout of Colombian Jaime Rangel. Judah was raised in the tiny black Jewish sect known as the B'nai Zaken in New York and is the son of kickboxing hero Yoel Judah. And out in Irvine, California, Jewish leaders have been offended by the names chosen for Muslim teams in an upcoming football tournament. They've called their squads Intifada, Soldiers of Allah, and Mujahideen. One wonders if their cheerleaders are dressed like Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And perhaps my favorite story this week, a real feel-good one. In Tel Aviv, a tiny Iraqi child is fighting for life, but without the help of Americans and Israelis, she wouldn't have had any chance. Bayan Jassim is 3 weeks old, and she would almost certainly be dead today without the help of an American humanitarian, a U.S. Army doctor, and an Israeli charity called Save a Child's Heart. Jassim was born in Kirkuk in northern Iraq with a heart condition known as transposition of the great arteries. It's fatal, without surgery that's unavailable in her country. The only thing that keeps them alive is a little duct, said Jonathan Miles of the Christian group Brothers Together, but it starts closing and, after 2 weeks, basically you're done. Miles' organization is based in the Gaza Strip and for the last 7 years has been sending Palestinian children to Israel for life-saving operations. Now Miles is helping children in Iraq. Bayan Jassim's condition was spotted by a U.S. Army cardiologist who runs a weekly clinic for children in Kirkuk. He contacted Miles, who managed to arrange travel for the baby and her parents out of Iraq, through Jordan and into Israel, to the Wolfson Medical Center south of Tel Aviv. Iraqi doctors talked directly to Israeli surgeons using Miles' satellite phone for guidance on how to prepare the baby for the trip. On arrival, the Israeli group Save a Child's Heart took over. It took 21 hours to complete the delicate open-heart surgery. The doctors, nurses, and anesthetists all offered their services for free. One of the doctors is himself, the son of Iraqi Jewish immigrants to Israel. Of course, the baby's parents are overwhelmed by the kindness they found in a country that was supposed to be their country's enemy. They spend their days and most of their nights at the hospital praying for their baby's recovery. Save a Child's Heart is a nonprofit organization, so it's chronically short of money. If you'd like to help them, go to its website, www.saveachildsheart.com. No punctuation. In the meantime, surgeons said early this week that little Bayan was still in critical but stable condition. They're confident another child's life has been saved thanks to a remarkable shared commitment across three borders and by Christians, Muslims, and Jews. And that's the news of Jews around the world. I want to welcome back Kinneret Shiryon, the rabbi of Kehilat Yozma in Modin, a beautiful city, well, a small city that's going to be a large city between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. She has been in Israel about 21 years and is the founder of this congregation, which has the potential in some ways to be a leading liberal congregation in Israel. Kinneret is part of the progressive movement in Israel, which has made tremendous strides in the last 5 to 7 years and continues to have, I think, the potential to develop into a central and focal part of the Israeli religious experience, although it hasn't been throughout most of Israel's history. Can you talk about that a little bit, the Israeli attitude towards liberal Judaism in general?
I would say that when I talk about getting the message of Reform Judaism out into the Israeli world, we're not starting from a neutral ground. We're actually starting from negative. The average Israeli over the years has been taught that the only legitimate form of Judaism and Jewish practice is Orthodoxy, and that any other form, it's not authentic. So we have to first change the stereotype of what Reform Judaism is in the eyes of the average Israeli. Once you do that, then you can start building upon who you are, not what you aren't. And so it took several steps, besides which the progressive movement for Judaism in Israel runs itself on a shoestring budget. We didn't have the financial means with which to get the word out.
And I think most of our guests may not realize that the Orthodox movement is essentially supported by state funds, by tax funds.
Correct. That's correct. And we have no formal support from the average Israeli pays their taxes, and those taxes go to support religious institutions that are Orthodox. Anything that is not Orthodox doesn't get that kind of support, which we're fighting to change. So it's been an uphill battle. I think that The miracle is that the word has gotten out and the consciousness level of the average Israeli has been, they're aware that there is liberal Judaism, that there are other ways of identifying Jewishly, religiously, than the Orthodox, and the more successes that we have in building our centers, the more bar and bat mitzvah ceremonies that Israelis participate in, the more wedding ceremonies they participate in, the more they appreciate what Reform Judaism has to offer, which is really a respect for tradition in a modern light, in an egalitarian setting. It has really become a important vehicle for women to be able to express themselves in a way that they haven't been. They felt ostracized from the religious community, and here the whole world has opened up to them. I can't begin to tell you how many women, for the first time, have come up to the Torah, have read from the Torah, have had that experience, which for them has been empowering and exciting and making them feel a part of religious life in the country.
You had the opportunity, which is not a typical opportunity in Israel, to actually have land and develop a property. Does the funding for that have to come from outside of Israel still?
It's an excellent question. The majority of the funding will come from our attempts to raise money for the center that we're building, but we have won a Supreme Court case in the Israeli Supreme Court, which states that the city of Modi'in must come up with criteria for any organization, any synagogue that is asking for support, governmental support, financial support, and the Supreme Court ruling was yes, the city must come up with it. The city has ignored the Supreme Court ruling, so we are now taking the city to court on contempt of court, and hopefully we will be able to make progress after that. If we win that case and the criteria are set, we believe that we fit the criteria. And once we fit the criteria, then we will expect to get government funding, as that has not happened ever before in the history of Reform Judaism in Israel, and it will be a historical precedent-setting event, one that we are looking forward to.
I was living in Israel in 1991, attended the dedication of Beit Daniel. A friend of mine from the United States had donated a fair amount of funding for it, a guy named Bill Daniel, actually. And the temple was named after his family. But that was sort of a brand new moment, a new congregation, a new building. Now it's full to overflowing. They've built more. Tell us about how synagogues have developed, progressive synagogues have developed in the last decade or so.
Once congregations can get funding to build a building, to have an edifice where that is aesthetically appealing, that is functional, that can allow for celebration to take place in a setting that matches what we're trying to do, rather than doing it in makeshift buildings and in outside and in all kinds of alternative settings, then people will start coming. First of all, because it's something that's appealing, they're willing to pay for the services that are involved, plus they reap all the benefits of what Reform Judaism has to offer, which is the families can pray together, they can honor the different members of their family, they're actively participants in building the ceremony with the rabbi. It is a much more all-encompassing kind of event that puts meaning into their Jewish lives, and they go through a life cycle ceremony that's not dry and technical and then just going through the motions, but something that they are part of planning. So it means that the experience will be even greater for them.
There are now something in the order of 20 different progressive congregations in Israel. Play prophet, play Neviah for a moment. How many congregations do you anticipate in 20 years?
There are now presently the class of rabbinic Israeli-born rabbinic students, close to 30. Every year we are accepting between 20 and 30 people. You do the math. I believe for every rabbi that's ordained, we can have a Reform Jewish community.
When I first started going to Israel, everybody said Israel is about 90% what's called chiloni, which means secular, although secular doesn't exactly mean what we think of as secular in America, and maybe 10% Orthodox. What do you think the real proportions are, and what do they mean?
I believe the proportions are more like maybe 10% are Haredi, which is the fanatically Orthodox, but I'd say more around 20% are Orthodox, in the Orthodox camp. And I would say that the Israelis that define themselves as secular, in practice, are really Reformed Jews. They just don't know it yet. And we're teaching them what it means to be a Reformed Jew, and that it's not something to be ashamed of, it's something to be proud of, and that they should feel comfortable with a religious identity and not just a cultural or national identity.
So what does it mean to be a Reformed Jew in Israel? How would you define it?
I would say that it means to respect the traditions of our past, to understand them in the light of today, to be able to translate them into the vision of the prophets in terms of building a better society, a society where we don't have the terrible gaps between those that have and those who do not, a society that cares about its environment, a society that cares about the quality of human life. Tikkun Olam, it's repairing the world. Our Reform congregations put enormous emphasis on the social action aspects of it, bringing the views of the Nevi'im into life, and it means bringing in modern melodies. It means invigorating Jewish spiritual expression, and it means teaching our children and for future generations of Israelis what it means to be Jewish. What are Jewish values? What is Jewish tradition? Respect for that tradition, understanding that tradition, and learning what is anachronistic and what is applicable to Jewish life today.
In my experience, Reform and conservative rabbis and congregations in Israel are very closely allied. That's been true for a while. Is that still the case?
In practice, it's the case. I think what separates us is ideology, and for the many different times we've had attempts to bridge that, but movements somehow get stuck behind their ideologies and often don't do enough work together, and I think that's probably what prevents us from moving on in that direction, although we support each other in our struggles for recognition, because we are all looking for that mutual recognition from the society at large.
How can people in the United States contribute to the development of progressive Judaism in Israel?
Come to Israel. Visit our communities. Learn about who we are. Get involved with a liberal congregation in the country. Find out what they're doing. What are their needs? What are their programs? Many of them are doing very exciting things. We, in Modin, we have a single-parent family support group that meets once a month. We've adopted a daycare center for mentally handicapped children. There are exciting things happening in the country. Find out, learn about what progressive Judaism is all about, and come and support us, do joint programming, and build Jewish life. Make those bridges between the diaspora communities as well as the Israeli communities.
And the website they can find it on is the World Union for Progressive Judaism website.
Or the Israel Movement for Progressive Judaism website as well.
Israel Movement. I want to thank Kinneret Shirion, who brings wonderful energy and dynamism and commitment to the, what's not just a struggle anymore, to the reality and excitement of progressive Judaism in Israel.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll hear about next week's guest and get a final musical play out.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool, they really have fun.
Aleph Bet Vet.
Aleph Bet Vet.
Gimel Dalet Hey.
Gimel Dalet Hey.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool.
Temple Emmanuel Preschool.
We learn and play all day.
We learn and play all day.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool, children are welcome from 6 weeks to pre-kindergarten. We've got small class sizes with a low student-to-teacher ratio. Our professional staff is highly trained and nurturing, and the school offers an all-day extended program with a rich learning curriculum including science, art, music, and dance. Of course, Temple Emmanuel Preschool is open to community members of all faiths. We invite you to come for a visit anytime. Just call Lynn or Melissa at 325-0390. Remember, at Temple Emmanuel Preschool,
we learn and play all day.
Temple Emmanuel Preschool on Country Club just north of Broadway. Call 325-0390 or go to templeemmanueltucson.org. Thank you for joining us this morning on Too Jewish with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends. You can contact us at 327-4501 or at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com. Come back next Sunday at 10 right here on 990 AM KTKT.
Thanks for being here. Join us next week when our guest will be Sue Hoffman of the Sheffa Fund, talking about Jewish ethical investing. Our playout this morning comes from a delightful and unlikely place, a Calypso Chanukah dreidel song. This Friday at Temple, we'll have our Champagne Chardonnay Shabbat for the new secular year at 5 p.m. Don't miss it. Call 327-4501 for information. My friends, have a good morning, a Chag Chanukah Sameach, a happy and delightful Chanukah, and a Shavua Tov, a week, we pray, of peace.
Have a little dreidel, made it out of clay. When it's dry and ready, dreidel I shall pray. Of clay. Oh, dreidel, 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 now dreidel I shall play.
The preceding program was produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.